please step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Off Stage and On the Air, performance number 667. I, as I always am Lisa Sheps, and here, as she always is my tremendous, fantabulous co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello, Shiro here with Sheps, because Sheps is the woman of the hour.
Just the hour. You're listening to us on KOOP HD1, HD3, Hornsby, streaming live at KOOP.org. Don't go away.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
Everybody's got the right to be happy.
It is Wednesday, May 4th, 2022. May the 4th be with you. On today's show, we have our extremely good friends at Ground Floor Theater and their show Dot. Later on, we'll be talking to one of the lead actors from the Donna Summer musical. From Broadway in Austin, of course, we will have lovely discussions of theater news in Austin, New York, Chicago, London, and Albuquerque. Stick with us.
Scream and holler.
Grab them by the collar.
Free country.
Means you get to connect.
You know, everybody's got to be the right to be free, Nicole Shiro.
I saw that you chose this, and, you know, anytime you choose something from Esteban's show Assassins, I get happy.
Yeah, well, that's not only Esteban's show Assassins, that's the brand new one. And it is, I have to just give a shout out to Mark Serif, local Broadway producer here in Austin, Texas, who was one of the producers on this off-Broadway version of Assassins play now. And as a gift, gave me that music.
Can I just tell you, I love that there's been so many great cast albums out. We haven't had some albums, and even not just cast albums, but like even like the women's superstar album. There's just been really good Broadway soundtracks and music coming out.
Yep, the WSSA.
Yes, yep, exactly it.
We love that. So let's tell folks who's joining us here in the studio. We have, I think,
people.
For maybe the first, no, second time, Melody Fully Love. Hi, Melody.
Hi.
Oh, wait, why can't I hear you? Oh, you know why? Try it now.
Hi.
No, I can't hear you at all. So, you know,
different
try
mic.
It now.
Hello.
They change things up here on this board.
Well, as they say in the color purple, push the button.
Can push you hear the me button. Now? Can hear you now.
Push the button.
And also here, Jeremy Rashad Brown. Welcome back.
Well, thank you for having me.
That was all that lovely, infectious laughter that you have, which we just we just love. So it was infectious, which is, you know, seems to be the
I'm infected.
Yes.
Well, in the past 2 years, we've known a lot about infection.
Not that infection.
And enter the Yakety Sack theme song.
Hey.
Don't look back.
So we're coming down, winding down, as Sarah Silverman says, to the end of the Broadway openings for Tony.
Consideration.
That wasn't the
eligibility.
Word. Eligibility. Thank you. So we're going to just jump right into that. We have my favorite title, POTUS.
POTUS. You just said, tell me that title again.
I'm not done.
Though?
I have not said it yet. Oh my God. I have not said it yet. It's POTUS, or Behind Every Dumbass are Seven Women Trying to Help Keep Him Alive. So this is a show about the women of
behind POTUS,
and this POTUS is one specific fictional POTUS that is really a president that I can't tell you who it is fictionalizing, but it rhymes with Ronald Rump.
Let's see.
So it says that this show is, the is about when the president unwittingly spins a PR nightmare into a global crisis, the seven brilliant and beleaguered women he relies on most will risk life, liberty, and the pursuit of sanity to keep the commander-in-chief out of trouble.
I always like that where they wrote the pursuit of sanity. I don't know.
It's a good one.
It is a good one.
And why not? I need to... So there's a... I don't know how many thumbs up, thumbs down, because I didn't put it in here, but there were some thumbs up and some thumbs downs for this, but mostly thumbs up, I believe.
The majority was thumbs up, if I remember correctly.
So Jesse Green calls this, from the New York Times, calls this a snappy and intermittently hilarious farce that opened last Wednesday, a week ago today, at the Schubert Theater. And this is written by Selena Fillinger, or Fillinger.
Schubert's one of my favorites, by the way.
Is it?
It is. I saw that is where the Coarse Line ran for its long running run, and then that's where Chicago came back in when it first went back up with Anne Rankin and B.B. Newhart, and then that's where I saw The Revolting Children of Matilda.
I'm not sure where that voice came from.
It's a great theater. The fact that the Coarse Line ran there is just my thing, and the plaques on the wall. And
which is the last time I was in the Schubert Theater was when I saw Coarse Line.
Was it one singular sensation?
No, actually, it was one tired sensation by that point.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I saw it towards the end of its run.
I was there at that final night, though. That was a singular sensation.
That was more than a singular sensation.
Yes, it was lots of people.
Oh my gosh. This is going to be one of those shows. So POTUS stars people like Susie Nakamura, Julie White, Rachel Dratch, Vanessa Williams, Julianne Hough, to name a few.
Can we just stop and talk about how you and I interviewed Vanessa Williams during the pandemic?
Okay.
Because that's just kind of cool. I just had to put it there. Just had to put it out there.
Okay. And also Leah Delaria is another one. This was directed by one Susan Stroman, who we talk about. Oh, and I left out Lily Cooper. So, I mean, heck of a cast.
I was just talking about Leah Delaria the other day. That's crazy.
She
was in Rocky Horror on the revival on Broadway.
Oh, my God. That is so crazy.
Crazy. That's a great cast.
I just want to go on record as we are here for Jeremy's entertainment.
Yes, you are. I mean, thank you for the Wednesday hump day. Nice
comedy hour.
Buff up. Thank you.
So, this is awesome. So this is a set by Beowulf Borat with a turntable, which I know that some of us from DOT kind of wish we had a turntable set.
I love turntables.
Yes.
We don't. Actually, the very first Broadway show I had that people hear this ad nauseum was Fiddler on the Roof, and it had a turntable set. So
that's cool.
We're just going to zip through some of these other reviews. Deadline's Greg Evans said POTUS barrels through its weaker stretches on the contagious enthusiasm and in it together vivacity of the crowd pleasing cast.
That was a mouthful right there. That was a big wordy words there, right?
Wordy words. That's what this says in the dictionary. Bhadatri Chaudhary says from Did They Like It, says the jokes are not fluke laughs, but honed, well thought out commentary on contemporary politics, debates around feminism, and the workspace safety for women. I should say that the faux pas that the president said was he used a word that we cannot say here that starts with the letter C, referring to his wife, who is like a Melania, starts with the M, but unlike a Melania, his wife in this play is a brilliant person.
Ah.
But he used a bad word. And that's what they had to fix. The Rap's Robert Hoffler said, Beowulf Borat's massive West Wing set goes round and round, featuring everything from the chief of staff's office to the ladies' loo, but its ultimate effect is to scatter the comedy all over the place.
Interesting. I would like to see, I mean, I love all these actors, but I'm curious to see someone like Rachel Dratch, who's, you know, able to fully just go all out in it, energy, and to be able, how do you rein that type of improv comedian like type and keep it in a script and not overshadow. I just think that's fascinating.
Yes.
That's my little two cents right there.
There you go. I like that.
That's brilliant. yeah.
I mean, I'm fascinated by all the other women, so I would enjoy it just as much. But I just think that's a whole nother layer of like, oh, how do you do that? And then how do you do that when you're with all these other ladies in the show?
Yeah. Okay, right. We're going to go straight from that into Macbeth.
Oh.
Which got mostly mixed reviews and mixed to negative reviews. And this is with Daniel Craig and Ruth Negga, who played Hamlet just recently.
Yes. Yeah. She's like my Kush Jumbo. She's another one from over in the Europe that I am fascinated with, although she's Irish. She's Irish-Ethiopian.
Yeah, well, we won't hold that against her.
No, I think it's fascinating.
So let's here's a test. How many revivals of Hamlet have there been since 1768?
Someone who accurately counted that one.
I don't know, but that's 50 Broadway revivals since 1768.
I guess
Broadway predates 1768.
I don't know. That's why I'm saying who took that survey.
Well, I don't know. It comes from the New York Times, so it can't be wrong. That's almost as reliable as Wikipedia. Okay, let's trudge into this. They didn't
visually stunning from the images I've seen of the show.
True.
Okay, this is directed by Sam Gold. And I love the way he started it, which I find interesting, is the audience walks in and the curtain is halfway up. Mm-hmm. And so you see the actors walking around. And seemingly he says...
Very hair-like.
Huh. Yes and no all at the same time, because it's more Macbeth-like.
Yeah.
Yeah. but I often get those two mixed up.
Just talking about pre-show actors.
So it starts off with Michael Patrick Thornton, who plays Lennox. He comes out and does a curtain speech, evidently. And Jesse Green says it's like a Catskills tumbler. His large improvised spiel explains the play's origin in a time of plague around 1605 and under the influence of King James' obsession with the supernatural. So that a little pre-thing.
Did they do that because everything's so modern in the show? So they were like, we just need to explain why this guy's in a suit? I mean, I don't get it.
Unknown.
I don't know, but the photos of Daniel and Ruth in those chairs are just so creepily powerful.
They are gorgeous.
Okay. There's some dissension in the ranks, but we won't go into that.
Basically, when
talking
she's,
about
we're wrong, she's right.
Dissonance.
Talking about Negga's performance, who he said that in her performance at St. Anne's Warehouse of Hamlet was very physical. This one, he says, she is wonderfully physical too, like a feral cat. She can seem quicksilver and weightless, or when enraged, menacing and bristly and twice her size. Negga is also extraordinary with the verse, one of the few cast members who not only makes it meaningful clear, but also projects that meaning past the conceptual firewall Gold has erected.
I like that, but I don't see why he had to start off with a comparison to her doing Hamlet ahead of time. I would have been offended by that, as Ruth just saying.
I don't know why.
Judge my performance here, not there.
Well, they oftentimes reference other performances. So they also say that it's affected with a lot of effects. A quote that put yet another demystifying frame on the action, and one not from life or theater, but from movies. The fog at the Long Acre is thicker than in Casablanca.
Wow.
Now, that could have been a fog mishap.
The foreboding aural effect, sound designed by Mike I. Solomon, recalls slasher flicks. The screeching violins more specifically reference Bernard Herrmann's score in Psycho.
I was about to say, there were Psycho references. Yeah, I read that. I think that's cool. That's taking a lot of different influences within genres and using them. I don't have a problem with that.
Good for you.
The witches looked creepy, too, in those images I saw.
Okay.
They should be, so that worked.
Anything else about the images we want to talk about? We've been spending a fair amount of time on them.
That's all I have to go on right now. I couldn't see the show.
Okay, well, you could have read the reviews.
I did read the reviews.
A.M. Mike Windman said, And he liked it. If one has mixed feelings about this production, it's nice to just be back at a point where there is once again a Shakespeare play on Broadway with a big star and a strong cast that is doing sellout business and has an offbeat production concept. Did they like it? Ron Gias says, I find this production exhilarating, but it's not the best introduction to the play for someone who's unfamiliar with the text. Mm. And as theater artists, we certainly cannot sacrifice clarity for innovation.
That's an interesting take.
Yeah. And finally, Helen Shaw from Vulture said, it's an unusually bare staging for Broadway, stuffed with ideas, but stripped clean of folderol. A word very not used enough.
No, not used enough, but I love its usage in this.
They use it in Cinderella.
They do. They sing it in Cinderella. I love that.
Yes.
And she goes on to say, for the majority of the company, director Sam Gold has us settled on a kind of still in rehearsal vibe with big events whirling up out of an empty theater dimly lit by ghost light.
Hmm.
There you go. So. Wow. Not terribly liked. And I think there... And then the final one. Actually, I did this out of order. Before Macbeth was Mr. Saturday Night.
Yes. I was like, the musical version.
Mm. The musical version, yes. Mr. Saturday Night, the musical.
Now still starring the Billy Crystal.
Yeah. And I didn't... So I think I've talked about it because I've never seen the movie. I did not understand how he could do this role 30 years later. But it turns out, according to this review, that the movie, he was too young to play the role because he was playing a 70-year-old at the time.
Correct.
And now, guess what?
He is
a 70-year-old.
The right age.
So that's a good thing. Mr. Saturday Night got 7 thumbs up. 4 mez and 4 down.
And the music it's Jason Robert Brown.
It is Jason Robert Brown. Mm. And, well, now you're going to make me search through his co. Jason Robert Brown did the music and Amanda Green did the lyrics. Mm-hmm. The book is by screenwriters Crystal Lowell Gantz and Balibu Mandel. There you go.
Amanda Green, she's offspring of one of the Comden and Greens, right? I think so.
I don't know.
I think so.
You typically know these things. So
no,
I'm gonna say,
I don't know. I think I'll have to look into that.
Yep. So this is reviewed by the New York Times by Laura Collins Hughes. And this traces Buddy's attempt. Buddy is the Billy Crystal character trying to make a second go of things. Didn't do really well. Or he was losing his... He was losing his joie de vivre, and he was trying to get it back.
Joie de vivre.
Also, Shoshana Bean was in this, and she got... Everybody's saying really wonderful things about her.
I don't know when people don't like Shoshana Bean.
Who doesn't like Shoshana Bean?
You know?
Who doesn't like Shoshana Bean?
Yeah.
Jeremy, is it you? Who? I think everybody here likes Shoshana Bean.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. I like this reference. As for Crystal's singing, he doesn't have the range to play Fanny Bryce.
Wow.
Well, that's an offshoot.
Let it be known then. Okay. Well,
yeah. So, well,
I don't think he ever thought of himself as...
Neither does Beanie Feldstein. So
yeah,
there you go.
The pipe. So.
So I find it interesting. It has only a 6-piece orchestra, but they say it really sounds wonderful.
Huh. Well, I mean...
6 pieces is small for Broadway.
It is small, but I mean, I would suspect Jason Robert Brown wouldn't have let just 6 pieces go out if he didn't think it sounded okay.
Nobody is complaining about it. I'm just saying I'm surprised.
No, I'm just saying, so...
And as a matter of fact...
This is unacceptable. What?
I refuse. I'm walking out.
That's where I draw the line. It's 6.
All right. AM New York's Matt Winman said, while Billy Crystal and the cast are droll and endearing, Mr. Saturday Night is pretty dull, slow, and schmaltzy.
Yeah, it was not really ever my favorite movie.
But Badatri Chowdhury said, Mr. Saturday Night tries to create nostalgia for a time when not everyone craves. Some audience members did, and they laughed throughout the production. That just sort of talks about where we are today. Mm. And finally, Helen Shaw of Vulture said, the musical numbers feel like a delaying tactic. Oddly placed, oddly paced, and bland.
You see, okay. I didn't know where you were putting the music into this, so I mean, I guess neither did they.
That's an opinion.
Yeah. That's an opinion. All right, we're running. We are running out of time, kids. So I've got to just. There's so much more I wanted to read, but I should talk about real quick the bedwetter. This is the Sarah Silverman show that went into performances previews just recently. They've already extended. They extended before the preview started.
Like, they already extended once. Now they're extending twice.
And this is done at the Atlantic Theater Company. And it's got cast members like Cassie Levy and B.B. Newworth, amongst others.
B.B., I love you.
This is based on her memoir, and it tells the story of Sarah, a funny 10-year-old with a secret that's not a secret if you read the title.
Okay.
It's true.
Guess what? She was not the only 10-year-old as a bedwetter.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't think she was. But oddly, she may have been. You never know.
I never was.
thank you, Jeremy. We will be asking this as qualifying questions before the show.
Or as Shaggy likes to say, it wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
Here's a little bit of sad news. For Color Girls Who Considered Suicide When the Rainbow Is Enough is closing 3 months early.
What's up with that? Like,
they could not get anybody to come see it. This is the really unfortunate part.
I don't even know what to say. Yeah, I'm surprised by that.
I'm ashamed in so many words because people should have. It's gotten amazing reviews.
Yeah,
it's a great show.
Well, maybe if they made it a musical, people would come.
Right.
Only six pieces.
One of the lead producers, Nell Nugent, said, "Our numbers were much lower than those rave reviews would justify. There are so many choices this season, which is very exciting, but there's a lot of inventory." I love that term for Broadway shows, inventory. Right. "And the shows with major stars are doing better. I think there's some confusion into the public's mind about safety."
Here's the problem, too. They're gonna have it all at the Tonys. Everyone's gonna want to see it, and the darn show's gonna be closed. Like, this is just so ridiculous.
How do you feel?
Ridiculous.
Okay, I got two things I want to talk about real quick that we can't go into detail about, so I'm not going to even open up the articles. But one thing that happened, I'm sure you heard this, that Cinderella in the West End closed.
Yes.
And the cast members learned how?
Social media.
So they were not.
Not happy campers.
Not happy campers. There's lots of protests, Andrew Lloyd Webber.
They do not want to close.
The really useful group. Well, it's not that they don't want to close, which they don't, but to learn that you've lost your job over social media?
Wow.
Instead of being told by your employers is kind of...
Not cool?
Well, I think it's more than not cool. I think it is...
We're on air, so I was just trying to be nice.
Well, I think it's morally reprehensible. How's that?
Yeah, that works too.
And from what I understand, I don't know this for a fact, but I hear it, that the really useful group is, which is Andrew Lloyd Webber's production company, tends to do that kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
So, and they're already talking about the plans for it being in New York, which is even more upsetting.
It got good notices.
Yeah, I know.
This version.
But they're already on to that. The other shiny object, and they're not dealing with what's in front of them.
Well, no, it's been in the news every day, so it's still out there. So the last thing I want to talk about, which I'm sure you know, is today's Best of Broadway Week is happening right now.
Yes.
Today, I did not get to see it, but today the folks from Company performed. I believe yesterday...
All My Troubles Seem So Far Away.
Yeah, that sounds like a good title of a song.
Yeah,
oh my God, where'd my list go? Oh, yesterday was Six, today was Company, and tomorrow is Mrs. Doubtfire.
Well, you know what? I guess they have a little bit of everything for everyone in that group. That's very... different.
All right. We're gonna pick up these other things if we have time later. We're going to take a little break right now and talk to the folks from DOT. We are going to go away with a little bit of Company.
Let's do
this. This is the West End version, but this particular actor is also in the Broadway version. We'll be right back.
And here's to the girls who just watch.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with me, Lisa.
And me, Nicole.
And
Melody.
And?
Jeremy.
Jeremy, and that Melody and Jeremy we're talking about is Melody Fully Love, who plays Dot in Ground Floor Theater's upcoming production of Coleman Domingo's incredible Dot. And Jared, Jeremy Richard Brown, who plays Donnie Dot.
It's okay, I called him Jason a minute ago.
It's okay. This shows how much we think of you guys. Well, I'm so happy to have you on the show, and happy to talk about. I did mention that Dot is written by the amazing Coleman Domingo, mm-hmm. but is directed by the equally amazing Lisa yes. B. Thompson, who couldn't be here with us today.
Yes.
So we're snapping for I can't snap, but those of you watching on the webcam can see my fingers.
Left hand snap.
So Melody, tell us about the show. What's it about?
Well, the show is about the mother of the family who is approaching early onset Alzheimer's.
Yes, she is.
And it's just about how she's dealing with it and how the family is coping with it. The family dynamics are all over the place. Mm. And she's still in a little denial, but she's working with it. The good part about this show is that as sad as the situation sounds, there's humor in here that definitely is needed.
Yeah, as I tell people, you will laugh out loud yes, and you will
and
sob.
You will have Kleenex yes. holding your side at the same time.
And Jeremy, tell me right. who you play in the show.
So I play Donnie, the middle child of Dottie in the show. And this actually, fun tidbit, is my first queer character that I've ever played.
Well, that's not entirely true.
Ooh. Why?
You did a little thingamacado with me.
Oh, yeah, that.
It's okay. clearly that resonated with you.
Wait, what are you talking about, Lisa? Okay. I never did that.
Well, I will say this. I will help you. It's the first fully formed queer character.
Fully formed. Production.
Live and in color.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And so, like, it's fun. And, like, who Donnie is, like I kind of told Lisa B., I was like, ooh, this character is loud. Because this character is in his 40s, or he is 40. He just turned 40, pretty much. And he's trying to grapple with what life is and, like, what he thought he would be at 40.
Yeah.
And it didn't.
He's kind of a hot mess, isn't he?
A hot, holy mess, yes. And that was kind of me in my early 20s. So I'm just like, ooh, this is really, really loud. I don't like it, and I love it at the same time.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. yeah, I love this
don't
character.
You like that when you're torn inside? Like, I don't like this person, but I love this person.
I love this person. Like, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And that's why I really like jail so much with him. And at the same time, I'm so excited to get to rehearsals too, so I can discover more mm-hmm. about him, along with the family dynamic and the rest of the family, because he has two sisters, one older, one younger, and you know he's just. He's just trying to figure out what life is.
Yeah.
You know? Like, God. Yeah, so that's
so
who I am.
Dot deals with upper middle class black family in the Northeast,
mm-hmm.
Which is weirdly enough, is not a dynamic we see a lot on stage.
No.
And this show spans just a couple of days, but so much happens in those 2 days.
Yes. Yes.
Tell us about how it is to work on a show that has that's so dense and light all at the same time.
It's enlightening.
Ah,
say more about that, Melody.
Yeah,
well, like, you know, here she is talking about what it used to be like when she's in her right mind. And then she drifts back to where she was. And much of what's been written is very enlightening for me because it's history that I've never delved into before.
Right.
So I'm learning about what happened in the 60s and the 50s and all of the different programs that she was a part of. And it's just, I'm doing research trying to understand. Well, I've done research trying to understand what she's talking about.
Yeah.
So that I can deliver it in a way that makes sense. And so it's really been very enlightening to see that span of history.
Sure. And that neighborhood was a victim of white flight in the 70s.
Yes.
Interestingly enough, one of the characters is from a white family that stuck around.
Right.
Yes.
A white Jewish family.
Jewish family.
Yeah. Yeah.
that stuck around. So that's interesting as well. So coming from that history and all that happening is just amazing. Now, Donnie and his husband, Adam, don't live in this Pittsburgh town anymore. Where do y'all live?
New York City.
New York City.
Yeah. Yes. New York.
And a whole life, yes.
So this play, what time of year? What's going on at the season? What's happening in the season of this show?
Christmas.
Yep.
Ooh, when things happen.
And Dottie's trying to hold on to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it comes up a lot.
Well, and I guess one of the major characters is your daughter, Shelley.
Yes.
Who has really kind of become the caretaker. Mm-hmm. And is kind of, it's got that switching of roles from matriarch to matriarch, if you will.
Right.
Which is painful for both people.
Yes. Mm. Very painful.
Especially finding the balance of that transition and that new kind of life dynamic. That's, ooh.
And then to find the dynamic between the caregiver and the caretaker, you know, between being cared for, and then how does that shift the whole family dynamic,
right?
Because it's an internal struggle as personal as you're experiencing as a family, but then your relationships change
with
everyone. So it just is like a lot.
So surprisingly, it's the children that can't deal with it. Dot can.
Right.
Dot's got a plan.
She's got a plan.
So tell me who else is in the show.
We have Michelle Alexander as Shelley, the daughter that we were speaking of, and Octavia
LaToy
as Avery,
who is just fierce.
Yes.
And then we have Dottie's caretaker. His name is Fidel,
and he's
Jeremy too. He's another Jeremy.
Jeremy Canales. Yep.
And then we have Donnie's husband, Grayson
Hunt. Yes.
And then, of course, there's Jackie, who's played by Patty Neff Tibben.
Who was that?
Neff Tibben. I don't know.
I was like, Miss Patty Neff Tibben.
She's a brief acquaintance of mine.
Everybody is just fabulous.
And so I'll share, and I would love to get your experience. One of the things that is interesting about this production is that Lisa B. Thompson, who is a well-known playwright around town, a very prominent professor at UT in the African Diaspora Studies, this is her first stab at directing.
Yeah.
And from my perspective as the producer, I see her work, and as a director, she just fell right into it amazingly.
Oh, yes. She's amazing.
How do you guys feel about working with her as a director in her first experience?
It's beautiful.
I had told her methodology is just outstanding, because she definitely allows us to delve into the character. But even with each scene, she'll ask us how we felt about that scene and where it came from. And it's just another enlightening part about this culture that we're presenting. And I'm so honored, because I was in the monologues and she was the playwright, and now I have an opportunity to be with her as a director. And so that's just something to be proud of.
Jeremy, how's your experience been with her?
And just to go ahead and piggyback off of what Melody just said, like, especially diving into those characters, the conversations around each scene and around each character is so pertinent that I feel that a lot of directors, more contemporary directors, they don't do as often, because you just learn your lines. They might give you some tools here or there, but to sit and really converse about the story, about the character, about the world is so important.
Yes.
Agreed.
So important.
Yeah. Awesome. That's really great. When does this show open?
May 13th.
May 13th.
May 13th. That's a week from Friday.
Coming up.
We're gonna have to inspect the food that Nicole's been eating.
I live for it.
And how long do you play?
Until May 28th.
And where can folks go to get more information about this show?
They can go to groundfloortheater.org.
.org/dot. Yes. Well, thank you guys for being on the show.
Thank
I would love for y'all to stick
us.
Around if you have time. We're going to have a little section where we talk about local stuff going on. Yeah. It looks like Melody's got a boot scoot.
But
thank you.
thank you so much for both coming today.
Yeah,
absolutely. Thank you for having us.
Awesome. Thank you for having us.
Okay, that was Jeremy Rashad Brown and Melody Fully Love of Ground Floor Theater's production of
theater.
Dot, playing May 13th through the 28th at the Ground Floor Theater. For more information, groundfloortheater.org/dot. We'll be right back.
How could I ever forget?
Okay, we're back.
That was so pretty.
It was pretty. Every now and then I'm proud of my choices, but how could I ever forget for an Alzheimer's play?
Yeah.
Right.
I was going for Dot, but there were not that many.
You know why? Because it's not a musical. You were searching for a long
I was
time.
Going, I was going for the word Dot. Locally, I have a few things that I want to talk about. Number one is Somebody Loves You, Mr. Hatch, which I've heard so many great things about.
I'm in love with this show. It is a family show, all ages. There are so many stories. Don't have a child, and I'm an older person, and I just adore it. There's so many great little messages and warm fuzzies and that cast.
I hear it's a heartwarming story celebrating friendship, acceptance, and self-esteem. And then it will delight all ages.
It will. It's based on Eileen Spallini's book. And, of course, it's Alan Robertson. You know, he likes to write us some great stuff all the time. And
beautiful.
Amber Quick and Nathan Jerkins and Paul Sanchez are the adult cast. And then there's three young actresses playing Melody that rotate out.
Lots of people that we
It really
know.
Is a happy little show.
Yay, Amber Quick.
Lovely. Mm-hmm. The other thing, this is a kind of a save your date, save the date. Mick Otto, which Gilbert and Sullivan's Austin, which is something they were trying to do prior to the pandemic.
Right.
And they are doing this. It's the Mikado set in Ireland.
Ireland.
That's why it's called Mick Otto.
Mick Otto. Oh. Top of the morning to ya.
It's Scotland. And I always thought Scotland was M-A-C, not M-C.
Mm. So, it just depends.
Okay.
I'm shutting my mouth because I just would start talking. You'd be like, Nicole, this is show on theater.
I do not pretend to be an expert.
But there is M-A-C and M-C.
I thought the M-A-C's were Scottish, but you know, I'm happy to be wrong.
Discovery.
And then Broadway Across Austin, Broadway Across Texas, Broadway in Austin, Broadway Across Texas.
Texas Performing Arts, Broadway in Austin.
Just announced the Broadway season for next season.
The 2022-23 Broadway season.
Yeah.
What's happening, Lisa?
I'm not a proponent of the school year seasons that we use. But anyway.
I don't care much for these.
That's me. So I'm not happy with this season.
But you really liked the Houston season.
I did like the Houston season.
Yeah, because I got an email right away. Wow! Which I didn't expect.
Next year's season, starting in November, is Chicago. Which is fine.
Love me some Chicago. Again, yeah. Schubert Theater, remounted there.
Then How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the musical. Mm-hmm. Pretty Women.
I just can't understand that one.
Aladdin. I am looking forward to seeing Aladdin.
Aladdin's excited about that. Was the one I got really.
Ain't Too Proud. Looking forward to seeing that.
All right. Yes.
That's on the Houston season too. Awesome.
To Kill a Mockingbird with Richard Thomas.
I was like,
looking forward to seeing
that. Not just Richard Thomas, but I am so sorry I cannot remember your name at the moment, but the woman who played Scout in the movie.
Oh, that's right.
Is now playing the crazy drug addicted old lady neighbor in the tour with Richard Thomas.
That's
some John Boy.
That's true. And then in June is Hairspray.
Yeah. I love Hairspray.
Well, I mean, it's
but you know, it's not like
there's enough productions of it that I don't need to go sit in Bath
Heavy
Sigh. And then their bonus is Beautiful, which the Carole King musical, which I like. I'm lukewarm on the season.
It's on the add-on for Houston for this season. Now it'll be in Houston in June.
But certainly the middle of the season with Aladdin Ain't Too Proud and To Kill a Mockingbird, I am looking forward
to those.
Yeah, no, there's some good in there. that gets me really super excited. Yeah,
especially Ain't Too Proud. I am so excited to see that.
Mm-hmm. Moi aussi, as they say in Paris.
We'll find out more about all the other offerings at Texas Performing Arts because they're announcing that in a week.
Next week, which I cannot be at, but we'll find out. But this is the.
That is sad. We do that every year together.
I know we can. I've got, I believe, a opening.
That's a problem.
Well, I'll talk to somebody and see if I can get it changed. Today in theater history.
Today in theater history,
which I believe
happened. Lisa's gonna tell us.
I believe that I don't believe they're doing the official Today in Theater History anymore in Playbill.
Today in Theater History. You meant me or Playbill?
Playbill. Oh. So openings in 1993, Angels in America: The Millennium Approaches opened.
That was 93.
Yeah, one of my favorite shows, and one of the ones that I was going to do at my original theater, Play Theater Group. And then didn't do it because we ended up shutting down the theater with Mark Puhay. I didn't shut down the theater with Mark Puhay. Master,
you mean he didn't stay in there when you shut
Master Harold
down?
And the Boys.
Got it. All
which
right.
had just been done.
I liked and the Boys.
And the Boys.
And the Boys, Master Harold and the Boys.
Yeah. Anyway, it opened in 1982.
Was that really 82?
Yeah, are you going to do this for everyone?
I feel really old every day lately.
And in 1976, apropos of 1976, a show called, which I don't know it, is called 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, which I might want to look up.
We've played something from that. Isn't it a musical?
I don't think so.
I don't know. We've talked about this
before. Talked about 1600 Penn.
Yeah, anyway,
In 2005, Sweet Charity. The revival.
Was the Christina Applegate one.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And in 2008, Boeing Boeing.
Oh, that's like a Gina Gershon was in that one.
There you go. Birthdays.
I love me some Gina Gershon.
Luther Adler, Howard De Silva, Pia Zadora.
Howard De Silva. Oh, Pia Zadora.
Has she done Broadway? She must have. Why would she be in here?
She must have.
Yeah. Audrey Hepburn.
Audrey Hepburn.
And Anna Gasteyer, your friend.
Love it because Anna Gasteyer from...
She was in Pippin.
She wasn't just a Pippin. She
was
in...
Saturday. She was Second City. No.
She was in Mac the Knife, Three Penny Opera with Alan Cumming.
Oh.
But Cyndi Lauper. That was that production at Studio 54. But she sings the stuff from Reefer Madness. I've got the stuff.
Okay. Well, we're going to say goodbye to Jeremy Rashad Brown. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank y'all so much for having me. This has been a joy.
You come back any old time.
Yes.
I sure will.
Come back more often.
Maybe one day when Nicole's not available, you can come be co-host. And we'll feed you the same stuff she eats.
I'll
stick to my diet. It's fine.
What?
Nothing.
You can come co-host with me. You don't have to come just because I'm gone.
Yes, we love us some
the
Nicole.
More the y'all, the less I get to say. Okay, so let's go back and listen to a little bit of Sweet Charity. There's got to be something better than this.
When I sit at my desk on the 41st floor in my copy of a copy of a copy of Dior.
We are back. You are still listening to Offstage and On the Air with Nicole and
Lisa.
Yay.
Lisa.
So we're going to just jump right into this next interview. We were able to talk to the queen of disco, Donna Summer.
Yeah, we got Diva Donna.
We got Diva Donna, who is Karis Michelle Gelage. Her name is pronounced differently than the way it looks.
It is. It's one of those your brain wants to roll it off the
somewhere
tongue a different
else.
Way.
But yep. She's not. It's a total Americanized version of what her name is.
It's a great name.
I went to see it last night, and it was very, very, very Donna Summer-y. If you like Donna Summer.
Was it hot stuff?
It was hot stuff. Hot evening. Well, you know, rather than us talking about it, why don't we just let... why don't you let us talk about it? With her.
Let's hear.
Okay, here it is.
Out later.
This is not it.
Some life cleaner it's than somewhere. This.
We're going to stop this. We're having problems with our...
technical...
Not technical. Yeah, here we go.
We are some of the luckiest people in the city of Austin here because we have Kara's Michelle Gelich, who is playing a disco Donna in Summer, the Donna Summer musical that is going to be playing at, or is playing right now at Bass Concert Hall in Austin, Texas. Kara's, welcome to Offstage and On the Air.
Thank you so much for having me. How are y'all doing?
We're doing
great.
Good.
It's very exciting to have you.
I have to tell you that you are the perfect person to have on the show because I am of a certain age. The phrase "Hey Boomer" equates to me, and I came of age with Donna Summer and the disco era. So, of the Donna Summers that we had, we don't need the person that was born and raised in Houston, Texas. We got you. So tell us about the show and tell us about Disco Donna.
Of course. So the show is about the life and legacy and legend that is Donna Summer. It talks about her life, both as a person, but also in the music industry and how she paved the way for so many artists coming after her, but also the strides that she made as an artist, as a woman of color in the music industry during the disco era. And we hear a lot, we sing a lot of her hits like Love to Love You, Bad Girls, Hot Stuff, just to name a few. I don't want to spoil it. But, rather than having this huge life portrayed by one actress start to finish, it's three of us. There's Diva Donna, who is played by Brittany Smith, and she represents the narrator of the show. She starts and ends the show and is looking back on her life throughout the music industry and what it has done for her in the future and how she basically looks at music and herself now. And then there's Duckling Donna, which is the wide-eyed, bushy-tailed, optimistic Donna as she's finding her voice physically, like the fact that she can sing in church, and understanding who she is as just like existing in the world around her, meaning all of the societal standards of beauty. That's like the biggest theme sure. that you find with Duckling. And then there's Disco, who I play, which is smack dab in the middle of her life, right when she's starting her career. She's starting with, you know, becoming an actress and trying to explore that. And then she becomes this being of Donna Summer and releases all of these hits and these songs and really explores all of the ideas of sensuality and sexuality and humanity and color and everything. So yeah, that's the part that I play. It's really magical.
That's really exciting.
That sounds amazing and so much fun. And I'm so looking forward to seeing it. Actually, by the time this airs on our show, I will have seen it. And you're awesome.
And you'll still be singing Donna Summer.
You did a great job. I thought you were the best person in the show.
Oh, thanks.
Now, I'm guessing that you are of an age that you did not experience Donna Summer in her disco era firsthand.
Not live. No, unfortunately, I never got the chance to see her in concert. But I grew up listening to a lot of her music because I'm a musician's kid and my dad played a lot of music in different sets, collaborating with different artists. So I've heard a lot of her music.
Your dad is a bass player, correct?
Yes. I always do the silly hands. I'm always like this.
I love the bass.
This?
playing the lines.
I do it like this.
Oh, yeah, the upright.
So these actually, we are on the radio, so people can't see what we're doing, but just suffice it to say that if listeners, you could see us, you would know exactly what we're talking about. So that is
sometimes on the Zoom.
That is incredible. You grew up or you went to school in New Orleans area or Louisiana area.
Yes, I am born and raised New Orleanian. If you watched Princess and the Frog, that is the epitome of my family.
I have not watched Princess and the Frog, but I've often been called the Princess and the Frog.
Oh, I hope the princess.
So you've actually been on the road with this for a while.
Yes. We started the tour in November. We opened in November. Rehearsal started in October. So we've been on this journey for quite some time now.
Now, were you able to work with Des McAnuff and some of the original creative team?
Not too much of the original creative team. We did have a few members of the original cast come in and collaborate with us to get us really into the body and the feeling that is the disco era. It's truly, it's definitely something that you have to train your body to do for sure, because it's such a, not just demanding, but it's a very genuine style of dance that is so specific to that era.
Don't I know it?
yes.
So the person that played this on Broadway is Ariana DeBose. Those seem like huge point shoes to fill.
Yes.
I guess jazz shoes to fill.
Oh, yeah. Jazz shoes, ballroom shoes. Listen, those are some huge shoes to fill. I actually get to wear some of her original costumes in this production, and that is insane.
Wow.
Yeah, it's insane. It's a wonder. And it's just, I hope that more than anything, I'm doing Donna Summer the justice that she deserves in telling the story. But also I'm hoping I'm making Ariana proud with that.
I'm sure you are. I saw some YouTubes of you, and you certainly have my vote.
Thank you.
So pretty amazing. Oh my gosh, there was something I was going to say, and I lost it in my head. It's gone. Have you been to Austin before?
I have not. I have not. I am excited. I have friends who are from there, and they've told me all about it. But I've never been. I need all recommendations.
I was about to say, is there anything you're looking forward to see, doing, or eating while you're here?
So I have always been on the hunt throughout this tour for anything that's remotely close to New Orleans style food, because we unfortunately,
I think you got to go to New Orleans. I'm sorry to say that.
I know. And I don't have my pots and pans, so I can't really like throw down in the hotel room. But yeah, I've been on the hunt for some good seafood or barbecue, but also I'm a huge foodie, so I love trying things that are specific to a place. Like, you've got to try this awesome. I don't know, like, well, this crazy mac and cheese.
here in Austin, that's going to be breakfast tacos and barbecue.
Ooh, breakfast tacos.
There's a lot tacos. More than just breakfast tacos and
no
barbecue.
I know that I'm talking about that specific to Austin. I mean, there's a lot of food here. So, that is great. We are so looking forward to having you here, and looking forward to all the fun that you're going to have. And I cannot wait to see the show.
Yes, very I'm excited. So excited. I hope I get to meet you in person.
Well, I'll be the one screaming the loudest from in the orchestra, fourth, 10th row center.
Right in the center. Woo! I see jazz hands going.
I'll look for y'all.
Well, Kara's Michelle Gellidge, thank you so much for being on Offstage and on the Air. And I know that you'll just love Austin when you're here.
Of course. I'm looking forward to it.
Summer, the Donna Summer musical, is playing at Bass Concert Hall. For more information, you may visit austin.broadway.com.
MacArthur's Park is melting in the dark.
One of the things I didn't get to do earlier today, and unfortunately I can't do it now because I need the little piece of technology that's playing right now. Jeopardy was had a theater final question.
They've had a few lately.
And it was, and I was going to play it. I was going to test everybody. I had the question as one cut, and then I was going to get the answer. The answer is Julius Caesar, by the way.
Oh.
I can't remember what the question was.
Was it a Too Brutal?
It was something about, ironically, John Wilkes Booth and his brother was in a play around the same time.
Yes, and it was at the Ford Theater.
This was something different.
Yeah, but I think they did it at the Ford. That's how he knew. Maybe. That's how he was familiar with the Ford.
Possibly.
Yeah.
It's been a while. Some other things that we didn't talk about earlier is 13, the Jason Robert Brown everywhere these days. His show 13 is going to be on Netflix coming up.
Going to be a movie.
Just very, very soon.
That's the one the little Ariana Grande was starred in when she was a little peanut on Broadway.
Know. Well, the thing about 13 on Broadway was that was the first time it was like all by young folks.
Well, she was one of those young folks before she was known as the Ariana Grande.
Yep. Well, there you go. So that was one thing. And then the other thing that I want to talk about real quick-like, transfer from West End, Death of a Salesman with, what's his name? Wendell Pierce.
Mm-hmm.
And what's her name, who I cannot remember her name. I'll not come up with it. She was in...
I saw the song, but I'm drawing a total blank.
But anyway,
right now, too.
It's supposed to be really good. But the thing about Death of a Salesman, every time Death of a Salesman has a revival on Broadway, it wins the Tony. Every single time.
Every single time.
Just about.
Yeah, we discussed that.
Yeah, we did.
And there's a lot of revivals of that.
Yep, there is. And we're gonna leave. That's it. This show is over. We're done.
So long, farewell.
Auf Wiedersehen, goodbye. You get extra credit, listeners, if you know what show that's from, and you can send it to us on our Facebook page, Offstage and On the Air.
Well, you know what? They can leave that comment and say how great we are.
That's
and
what I just
say that.
That's what I just said.
With a comment.
believe I just said that. Anyway, that's it for us today. We'll see you next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Stand by for Texas Music Mixtape. DJ Mark is like he's like standing behind me, daring me to move away from the microphone. So I just might do it for him. We'll see y'all next week. Bye.
Bye.